I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It is the GBAC Nation here on the Fan. Time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Go to greystone-roofing.com. Here he is.
Hey, kids. Your old pal Krusty's going to teach you five new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Appreciate you playing that for me. And thank you to Greystone for being a part of that. I said I missed you guys while I was gone.
Bet you really did.
I did. I didn't miss you guys. I missed doing the work. I was still doing stuff over though at the studio.
You had a great guest list.
We did. Yeah, we had Drew Fabianich came over behind the scenes for a little scouting stuff. Ed Warder came over. Brad Sham came over. So yeah, I got Darren Woodson coming over here soon too.
Yeah.
So we're just kind of working on some things.
I got a text from Brad Sham today.
Yeah, asked for your number.
Yeah, so kind.
Was he asking about questions or something?
He was sizing me up. I guess he's got a shirt that says "I'm an idiot" that he wants to give me.
Well, I guess I'm going to get the same shirt too because I gave him my size.
Okay, nice.
No, I just don't think he had your number, so he needed it. Yeah. He put up a group. He's I don't know what he's doing, but it's very nice of him. Whatever.
It's probably something to do with the Cowboys radio network.
I mean, I'm excited, dude.
Yeah,
it might say we're idiots on it.
You're excited about free clothes.
Just mine.
Free clothes, right? Is that what you're excited about?
Yeah.
Some of the stuff, though, that myself and Vach Lombardi were doing on our podcast work, we were talking about within the division with the Cowboys and kind of going through position by position to see post-draft where the Cowboys are as far as ranking within the division at certain positions.
Okay.
And I was just curious if, you know, and we could do this as a group, if you would, because I was curious what you guys thought, because we feel like the assessment we had overall, offensively and defensively, that the Commanders are the most talent-poor team in the division.
Yeah, I think when you look at fair.
When you look at position by position.
The Giants improved dramatically through the draft, and Washington had the least amount of picks of anybody in the division.
Sure.
So, I mean,
they went after in free agency.
They did do a lot of free agents.
Free agency and stuff like that. But when you broke it down, and let's, if we could, okay, if you were to say, where would you have the Dallas Cowboys, and let's go defensively here. When, you know, maybe we'll go back and do the offense tomorrow. But where would you have the Dallas Cowboys? And you're probably going to have to kind of mix and match this a little bit because, you know, the positions of being a 3-4 and a 4-3 and stuff like that. But where do you think the Cowboys are within the division at defensive end? And think of the defensive end as the pass rusher.
Like edge
rusher. I think they're all going to be base 3-4.
Okay, then – Where would you say with the Cowboys? And just look at the starters. Just look at the starters. And you could take it as Donovan Ezeraku and then Rashawn Gary. We felt like that maybe the Giants were the best team when it came to their edge.
Yeah, Brian Burns and Abdul Carter.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's dominant.
Depth. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Are the Cowboys then are they okay, were they behind Philadelphia on the edges now?
Yeah, I mean, they got Jonathan Grenard. Yeah. Like, Grenard is better than Gary and Ezeraku.
A player that's probably about ready to break out here.
Okay. I think he led the team in sacks last year. It wasn't a big number, but yeah, Jalix Hunt. I mean, Grenard is better than both Ezeraku and Gary for the Eagles.
I think at the end of the year, the Cowboys could be two on this. Right now, I'm comfortable saying that they're three.
any chance that they're four.
There is a chance there is that a chance. Chaisson can continue his success.
And Odafe Owe?
Yeah. I mean, like, if Chaisson's really only ever had one good year, and it was in New England.
Right.
So is he able to have another good year with Washington? If he does, then there is a chance just from sack production numbers.
All right, going into this, are you going to say they're three or four?
I'll say three.
In the division.
I think they're fourth because, you know, when you look at Washington, you also have to include Dorrance Armstrong, who's not starting in Luvu.
Yeah,
I was
just getting the starters. We just kind of went starting off the 11 is what we were going.
Okay. I mean, starting, the Cowboys might end up with 10 sacks out of Ezeraku and Gary, you know, and I think all the other groups are looking at 15 to 20.
Okay. How about the defensive tackles? And I did it in a way where it was the Quinnen Williams and then the Kenny Clark how I looked at it, and as compared to the others. If you were talking two for, you know.
Yeah, they're probably two. And it'd be behind Philly.
Yeah.
With Carter and Davis. And they have a chance to be one, you know, if Kenny Clark.
That's what I'm saying. We came up with it. Philly was number one.
Yeah, Philly's one. I think Dallas would be two.
We felt like that the Commanders, if the Giants had kept Dexter Lawrence, that might push them a little bit closer.
Sure, ended up with Reader.
Yeah. How far do you feel like they are from being, like, number one?
The Cowboys?
Yeah.
I don't think they're very far. Yeah, they're not very far. I mean, Quinnen Williams is probably better than... I mean, based off last season, I remember Baldy was saying, like, Jordan Davis was better than
he was
Jalen Carter last year.
Now, Jalen Carter is looking like he is in its best shape of your life season, and he has taken that seriously. It looks like he's – because Jordan Davis did that a year ago, played his best. Now it looks like Jalen Carter's done this where he's trying to shed weight. But, yeah, I think Quinnen Williams is the best defensive tackle in the division.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I would probably take the tandem of Davis and Carter – over Kenny Clark, but I think that it is close, and I think Kenny Clark, especially if he's able to be healthy, can absolutely put them at one.
How about the linebacker situation now? And I'm looking at the names of Overshown and D Winters here. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to substitute Barham for Overshown and make it, you know, you could do that. But I went with just the Overshown and Winters. Where do you think they are within the division right now, as we sit?
It's tough because I think a healthy Overshown is going to be really good.
But and they're not Winters better than Philadelphia, right?
No, I mean, Zach Bond. Credit to Bond.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radnor, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
And then Jahad Campbell.
Yeah.
I mean, look, this one's a tough one because a lot of it's projection.
Right.
Like, you got Sonny Styles, you've got Arvell Reese.
Right.
Who I both think are going to be really good. But right now, I think you've seen a year of D. Winters starting. You kind of know what he is, and that's a good NFL player.
Mm-hmm.
And if Overshown's healthy. So I'd put them ahead of those rookies right now. So I'd probably have them at two.
Dawson?
There's a chance they'll be two for the first half of the season. Second half of the season when these rookies start coming around.
All right, I'm going to ask you this question then. If you guys feel like that they're two, is that still needy for you?
Yeah, because you can't – health is – what's their depth look like, right? And their depth is not good.
Yeah, the Eagles are the standard. The standard isn't the division. You know, Emmitt Smith was talking about that earlier in the week. Like, job number one's winning your division. True. I'm like, man, that's so old school.
Yeah.
Don't tell me that. That means you can't evaluate your roster, right? They need more good players, Brian. You know, and whether you look at a position group to position group or as a whole, Philadelphia has like four or five more good players than the Cowboys do right now.
But if you do, it's funny, if you do the offense, you find that Dallas is clearly better than all the other teams in a lot of areas.
For sure.
You know? I mean, what I'm getting from you guys is, do you guys feel like that Dallas is closer to the Philadelphia Eagles, closer by position by position? I don't get the feeling that you guys feel this is very distressed.
Well, if you want to win 10 games and go to the wild card round or divisional round, I think you're right on line to do that.
Okay.
You know, I would be stressed out, though, because we only have a couple of more years of Dak's prime.
Okay.
I don't know how good the division is either. Like, I think that it is a much more talented division, but there's so many. I mean, honestly, you might put him at three because they don't even have Frankie Louvu starting
right
at weak side linebacker.
Right.
I think he would. So I would take Frankie Louvu and Sonny Styles over D. Winters and Barham or Overshown, personally. I think Louvu's a stud.
How about if you did the cornerbacks? If you went Bland and say, I'm not going to start Revell. I'm going to start Durant.
Okay.
I'm going to go Bland and Durant.
Well, the and Eagles the, Eagles are going to be one here.
They're going to be one.
With Quinyon Mitchell. DeJean is kind of, I don't know, but they still got, Tariq Woolen as well at corner. So yeah. The Eagles are going to be one for sure when it comes to the corners. The Commanders probably last.
Yeah, you might put the Giants at two just because of health right now. Like, Greg Newsom is a really good player. I think he's underrated.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like that Hood's going to start for them.
Yeah, I think he could end up starting too. Yeah, I'd probably put the Cowboys at three in this one.
I kind of felt like, though, to me, that Dallas, as much as I really do want to believe in Revell, I think Durant's a good player for. I think Durant's going to be a good player for these guys. I think so. I worry about Bland more than anything. I think Devin Moore's going to help you. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Devin Moore is a rookie steps in there, and we're like wondering why Devin Moore's not starting. You know.
So yeah, I would pick the Cowboys second, and I think if Caleb Downs is really going to be the nickel player,
right,
that he counts in there as well. And
yeah, I included him in the safety group is what I did. So okay. I took him, I made him the starter at safety, but I made him and Jalen Thompson the starters at the.
I think
at the
safety you could be one.
I think where if you want to tell me where the Philadelphia Eagles on defense. Are yeah, really poor.
I agree.
I think their safety group is the one that they've got to have concerns about that.
Well, okay, so I was literally reading today. It looks like Cooper DeJean is going to be the starting safety, and then on obvious passing downs, I guess he'll be the nickel.
Okay,
so like to roll it out, it'll be Makuba and DeJean, I think, starting at safety for them.
Okay, if that's going to be the case, then I think that helps the Eagles. But if you want to call a defensive weakness on the Eagles. To me, and I could see why they moved Cooper DeJean to
safety. Yeah, because Marcus Epps is not very good.
No, not at all. So, but do you think, okay, when you start to look at this, though, where do you think Hooker, where he fits in all this? Do you think Hooker remains the starter here?
No, I think if you are playing your traditional defense, then your two safeties are going to be Thompson and Downs. I think when you move into nickel and now you've got Downs moving into the nickel spot, that's where you'll see Malik Hooker rotate in. And it might even be P.J. Locke. I mean, I think that this is going to...
Yeah,
the Cowboys have the best safety group in the division now. They turned a weakness into a strength.
That clearly is their best part of the... You would say their safety group is better than their defensive tackle group? Positionally?
I think they've got better depth there. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think all four of those guys would be starters on some teams. I think that Quinnen Williams is probably the best out of all the players. But then afterwards, like, I think Jalen Thompson or Caleb Downs, whoever you want to put as your second, is probably better than Kenny Clark right now in this stage of his career.
Sure.
So that's why I would give safety probably a slight edge.
Yeah, I just kind of get the feeling here that we don't think this defense as bad as it was. Now, maybe the improvements that they made gave it a chance, but I kind of feel
Did we have them last in the edge rusher group? Like, that's extremely important.
Yeah.
So yeah. your pass rush right there, potentially worse than the division.
We saw what happened last year with this thing. Mm-hmm. And I got a big discussion today. I blamed Eberflus for not adapting to the players he had.
Mm-hmm.
And I got pushback on that because the argument on the other side was the players weren't good enough.
Yeah, and I think both are true. I mean, it's clear that they have admitted the personnel was bad. I mean, look at all the players that they've moved on from.
The
players were not good, but Eberflus also was very stubborn in his ways of really not.
I think the coach killed them. I think the coach killed them with what he was doing last
year. Your only way to get stops was to be more aggressive, and he got more conservative.
He feared giving up the big play, and that's all he did.
Yeah.
He got worse at it. So,
but their safeties also were horrible.
Yeah,
and now they've upgraded that.
Maybe the best in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah, excited about that. And I think to your point or your question about Hooker, I think it's Hooker and Locke is one of the actual camp battles.
Yeah.
Of guys to be the deep safety. All right. Thank you, Brian. Krusty's Corner brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Tim Cato, All City, is going to join us and talk Mavs and NBA offseason and who the top candidates are to be their next head coach next year to the G-Bag Nation and the Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.